This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He's the editor of the CityWire.com that covers business, culture, politics, and more for the Fort Smith region. Michael, I trust you had a very good spring break?
Yes. Nice and relaxing over in Eureka. Of course, we have this thing called the Internet, so we're always working, but I did have a spring break. Hope you did as well.
I took a day off and went to the track at Oaklawn. And so,
were the horses kind to you?
The horses, I had no problem with. It was those people taking my money at the betting window that didn't give anything back.
That's right. They're narrow that way.
That's right. Talking about giving back, it looks like Golden Living is going to have some jobs for Fort Smith.
Yes, they announced Wednesday morning that they hope to add at least 200 jobs. The CEO Neil Kurtz kept during the press conference kept stressing that that's a minimum. He hopes to add more than 200 jobs. But I don't know if your listeners remember back early in March, about March 10th, the company announced they're moving their corporate operations, their management operations, to Plano, Texas, just north of Dallas. So, and they teased at the time that the Fort Smith building would become an administrative center and would probably add jobs. So they're roughly at about 675 jobs now. And within 24 months, within 2 years, they hope to be up to at least 875 jobs here. And they're closing down some offices or reducing the size of offices in Atlanta and Birmingham and Pittsburgh and a few other places to bring those jobs here. So with 9.2% unemployment in the area, any news like this is very welcome news.
I was going to say, the last few times you and I have had conversations about jobs, it has not been about the addition of them, so that is welcome news for the area.
Right. Yes, we. I know some people in the media think we like, or some people think we in the media like to report bad news, but, you know, after reporting increasing unemployment for the past almost 3 years, it gets really old.
There is a media shield law in Arkansas, has been for some time, but what is different, or what will be different, pending Governor Beebe's signature, is that journalists like you will be included in that media shield law.
Yeah, journalists like me. but what I like to say, though, Kyle, I'm not really a journalist. What I do is just kinetic reporting action.
Not really
journalism. Yes, the shield law, the last time the shield law was updated was 1947, and the existing law prior to this session didn't even include television reporters.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I saw the bill, which was SB 772, filed by Senator Jake Files, and when I first read it, it said the addition was to add television stations or internet news source, and I thought, you mean TV stations technically hadn't been protected under the shield law in Arkansas?
Well, no. And, you know, when Senator Files, of course, he's here from Fort Smith, and this whole subject came up, I was trying to learn more about Arkansas's FOI law, and I was talking to Max Brantley in Little Rock, and he mentioned something off the cuff about the shield law. And so I looked into it and saw that it didn't include, and to be honest with you, I didn't even notice it didn't include television. I didn't notice it didn't include internet news sources. So I asked Senator Files to look into it. I didn't even know if it was necessary, Kyle. It may have been that the law covered us anyway. But anyway, the attorneys from the Arkansas legislature said, well, it probably wouldn't hurt to update it. So Senator Files moved it through the process, and now it includes us internet folks as well as television journalists. And what it does is basically protects us from being forced to testify about our sources unless we've been somehow negligent, but it protects us from that forced testimony.
And you say you're not sure it was needed, but push comes to shove, it's nice to have it in there, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, as much gray area as you can remove from any law, I think that's always a good thing.
There is as I think we've talked about before, a downtown development bill possibility, but the possibility that it might be law is waning.
Right, and there are just a few days left in the session. It's unfortunate, really. It's the second time Representative Tracy Pinnartz of Fort Smith also, she's tried to push this through. And it's not just a Fort Smith bill. Some people have said that, but there are downtown development groups all over the state. She has about 59 organizations trying to support her on this bill. And essentially what it does, Kyle, is it just creates a tax credit. If you develop in a established downtown district and you meet certain codes, you meet certain development codes, and you can get a tax credit. And that's been the hang-up. Governor Beebe and some of the legislative leaders have had to agree on how much tax breaks or tax credits or tax cuts they're willing to give. And in the 2009 session, Representative Pinard's bill didn't make that agreed-upon tax cut package, and it didn't this year as well. So two consecutive sessions, that bill has not gone through. And I'm more fascinated that it doesn't go through because it has more broad-based support than some of the other tax cut bills. But it gets caught up in kind of a no-man's land because it's hard for some people to understand the incentive structure behind the bill.
Now, it did receive approval, did it not, from one of the chambers?
Oh, it's received overwhelming approval each year from the House. The year before, it had a 94-0 vote. I think this year was a 93-0 vote for it. But it gets bogged down in the Senate every time. And not that the Senate's killing, it's just that by the time it usually winds its way through the process, it is in the Senate during the last part of the session, and that's when the tax cut deals have already been made. And often that Senate Revenue and Tax Committee is where, and even on the House side also, is where bills will die if they're not part of the agreed-upon tax cut package or tax benefit or tax incentive package.
And I imagine in the atmosphere we have in 2011, when you get late in the session, it's hard to find many people or many seat holders in the House or Senate on either side who are then going to be talking about tax credits, at this late state.
Well, that's true. I mean, most of the legislative leaders have already agreed across party lines and with the governor's office. These are the tax bills that we will support. And, Representative Pinard has told me that she's had many legislators come up and say, this is a great bill, keep pushing it. But, we have an agreement and we can't do it this year. So it's just part of the process, and for political geeks like me, it's an interesting part of the process.
Michael Tilley is the editor of the City Wire, which covers politics, culture, business, and much more for the Fort Smith region. And he did not have Virginia Commonwealth playing Butler in the Final Four, correct?
I had none of my Kyle. I don't think I got to the 16 with any of my picks.
Okay, well, between my horse betting and your picks for the bracket, people shouldn't take our advice when trying to gain financially in the sports world.
That's absolutely true.
Michael, thanks as always.
All right, talk to you later.